You're listening to the King's Church Podcast. Visit us online at kingswisbeach.org.uk.
So we're delighted to invite Johnson to speak. Quite a few people are getting to know him. He comes with a good Christian pedigree. Previously, he's taught in a Bible college. I've got five O-levels. He's got a few degrees in theology. But planted churches in North India, has run institutions, Christian institutions, but recently came here with his wife and with Joshua. So we're delighted to have you here, Joshua. I'm going to pray for you, and then... what did I say? Joshua. You're about the same height. Never mind. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that your word is living and active. It's powerful. It's true. It's life-changing. Thank you, you're the author of that. And I pray that as Johnson shares the word with us this morning, our ears and hearts will be open to hear what you have to say. Holy Spirit, be upon him and be upon us as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise be to him. Happy Easter. I want to praise the Lord for this opportunity given to me. Especially, I'm grateful to the church and to the leadership for choosing me to share from God's word on this Easter Sunday. I don't know, you have to be more attentive to me since my accent, maybe an Indian accent, difficult for you to understand. If you like my preaching, keep saying hallelujah, so I will continue preaching. If you don't like my preaching, say amen, then I will stop there. There was a believer who bought a horse from a preacher. After purchasing it, he mounted on that horse, but the horse was not running. So he asked the preacher. The preacher said, I have trained this horse in a different way. You have to say hallelujah, then this horse runs. So he said hallelujah, so the horse started running. It ran and it ran. So it was running towards a mountain, but then believer understood he doesn't know how to stop it. So it was running towards a cliff. Then he understood there is no chance, he cannot escape now. He thought he will do the final prayer, and he prayed. After the prayer, he said amen. All of a sudden, the horse stopped because that was the word to stop the horse. Amen. So by the time, already reached the edge of that cliff, so he was so joyful and he shouted, hallelujah! So you know what happened. So you can say hallelujah, and if you want to stop me, say amen. I love a Christian author. His name is Dr. H.L. Wilmington. He has written a book called Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. I have used that book as a reference book when I was teaching theology in a seminary. According to him, he says, the fourth greatest day is the day of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest day in the history of mankind. And he says the third greatest day is the day of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says the second greatest day in the history of mankind is the day of his resurrection. And the greatest day is said to come, that is the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom here on this earth. Amen. So from the time of creation to this time, this 31st, 2024, the greatest day in the history of mankind is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is risen. It is the cornerstone of Christianity, the teaching of the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. It is central to our Christian faith. And according to John MacArthur, he says, it is the crowning event in the redemptive history of mankind. And it is the foundation of the gospel. Gospel is not a good news if there is no resurrection. And the Good Friday will be a tragedy if there is no triumph on that Sunday morning. So we are here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I told you that it is the foundation of the gospel. The definition of the gospel is given in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I will read a couple of verses for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1, now I make the best definition for gospel we see in that passage. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand. Let me read verses 3 and 4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. So the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ is the part of the gospel message. You may not fully understand the doctrine of resurrection, still you can be a Christian. But if you deny the doctrine of resurrection, you cannot be a Christian. To be a Christian, because this is gospel, part of the gospel, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ for our sins, and that is essential for our salvation. So Paul says, in the same chapter, he says, if Christ has not raised from the dead, he says in verse 14, then our preaching is in vain. And verse 15, he says, and your faith is in vain. Then we are false witnesses. That's what Paul says. Verse 17, he says, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Verse 19, we are all men most to be pitied. So if there is no resurrection, so our Christianity is just hopeless, helpless Christianity. It is just a religion. And it is the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ is the central theme in the messages of Peter and Paul throughout the book of Acts. It takes a lot of time, so I just skip. You read later. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 13, and all other chapters talking about the resurrection, which is vital to our Christianity. So since it is a very important cardinal foundational doctrine, the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, Satan has always tried to attack the truth of the resurrection of our Savior. And he has come up with various theories. Some of the theories you may be well aware of, like a swoon theory. Jesus actually did not die. He was unconscious on the cross. That's a swoon theory says. Then there is another theory called wrong tomb theory. That means the women actually did not go to the right tomb. They went to the wrong tomb. The third theory is called a stolen theory. Some people believe in that the authorities stole the body of Jesus. Some people believe that it is the disciples who stole the body. So that is another fake theory people coming up with. And there is another theory known as hallucination theory. So this post-resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ were hallucinations, did not take place actually. Frank Morrison, you may have heard that name, was a British lawyer. And in 1930s, he never believed in resurrection. So since he was a lawyer, he decided to write a short paper proving that resurrection actually did not take place. And he started collecting materials for that. Then after collecting the materials, he was so convinced that the resurrection is a fact and it is a truth, and he became a believer. Then he decided to write a book on that. So that's a well-known, famous book, Who Moved the Stone? That's a famous book written by him. So it is an undeniable truth, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that there are many undeniable proofs for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. Something like empty tomb, that is the greatest evidence for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The stone was rolled away. And the stone was rolled away not for Jesus to come out. He could have get out, he entering into the room even when the doors were closed. It was for our sake, so that we may believe in the Lord and believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the linen wrappings. And when they looked to that tomb, they saw the linen wrapping in the shape of the same cocoon. It was not unwrapped. The dead body, they put spices, then they wrap it with the linen. And without untying, the body cannot come out. But just like a cocoon in the wrapped shape, the linen was still there, and that's another proof for the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. And the changed lives of the disciples. We know that they were timid people before, always doubting, and even people who do not understand the scriptures, Old Testament, very well. But we know that after the resurrection, and also when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they received a power, and we see a great transformation in the lives of the disciples. And also the martyrdom of the apostles. If they were preaching a lie, nobody will be willing to die for a lie. Even when they are going to be the point of death, they will say that, no, it was a lie. Nobody tell a lie when they were going to die. So here, that's another proof for the resurrection. And later I heard that you are going to study more about the spiritual gifts. We have the spiritual gifts because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4 says that he ascended into the heaven and distributed spiritual gifts to the church. So we are people with the spiritual gifts because of his resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, when I go, I will send the helper. So we are with Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is permanently indwelling in our lives. That is another proof for the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. If resurrection did not take place, we are without the Holy Spirit, we are without the ministries of the Holy Spirit, without the spiritual gift, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, without the helping or teaching of the Holy Spirit, we will be here in this world. And the emergence of the church. We know that on the day of Pentecost, the church began. Jesus said, I will build my church in Matthew chapter 16. And we see the church, the emergence of the church, that he established it after his resurrection. And the worship on the first day of the week. Jewish people used to gather on Saturdays. But the worship was changed to the first day of the week because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was resurrected on the Sunday morning. And the post-resurrection appearances, for a period of 40 days, he was appearing to many people. A list is given in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the women. He appeared to the 10 disciples. He appeared to the 11 disciples. And he appeared to James. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to a group of more than 500. So these are all proofs, undeniable proofs, for the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. It was predicted in the Old Testament. The resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ was predicted in the Old Testament. There are many passages about the resurrection. That one clear passage, Paul quoting that particular passage in Acts chapter 2. And also Paul also quoting that in Acts chapter 13, that particular passage, Psalm 16 verse 10. I will read just that verse for you. Psalm 16 verse 10. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. So, and Peter and Paul, quoting this passage, clearly, you know, illustrate that it's not about David, because he died, his body was decayed, but it's talking about Jesus Christ. It is a messianic psalm talking about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the predictions of Lord Jesus Christ throughout the Bible. Jesus clearly stated many times, I am going to Jerusalem, there I will be arrested, and so I am going to die, then the third day I will rise again. Jesus stated that very clearly to the to his disciples, to the apostles. And Jesus said, destroy this temple, I will rebuild it in 3 days. And many undeniable predictions of Lord Jesus Christ, this all proves that resurrection is something that we cannot deny. As I said, you may not fully understand the doctrine of resurrection, still you can be a Christian. But if you deny the doctrine of resurrection, you cannot be a Christian. So we were looking some of the proofs for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And briefly, I also want to tell you, what does this resurrection prove? What does this resurrection prove? Number one, I want to say, it proves the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ proves his deity. It proves that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. It's proven. Let me read one passage for you. It's Romans 1:4. Romans 1:4. Who was declared the Son of God with the power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. So that passage says very clearly, who was declared the Son of God with the power by the resurrection from the dead. So God the Father said, he is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And Psalm 2, we read that, today I have begotten you. So that is talking about his resurrection. So Paul caught the same passage, and later he establishes resurrection based on that particular words in in Psalm 2. And also we know that, so here, with the power, by the resurrection from the dead, he declared to be the Son of God. So the life of Jesus Christ is bracketed with the two impossibilities. Number one, virgin womb, and the number two is the empty tomb. Virgin womb, there is no way to enter, but he entered. And empty tomb, there is not the way to exit, but no, he exited. That proves the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. We can put our all trust in him because he is God manifested in the flesh. We know that many conquerors have lived here on this earth. Conquerors like Alexander the Great or Napoleon, but they could not conquer death. Many autocrats have lived here on this earth, like a Hitler or a Stalin, but they could not overcome death. There were philosophers like Aristotle, Plato, or Socrates. They all succumbed to the death. They could not overcome the grave. We know that many film stars or sports heroes or presidents or prime ministers all succumbed to this. Solomon was the wisest man here lived on this, but still he also died. Samson, the strongest man ever lived, he also could not overcome death. Methuselah, he lived 967 years. Finally, he also could not overcome death. He also died. The people here on this earth, they could not overcome the world, overcome the death, but Jesus Christ alone overcome. So that proves the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. But you may say that many have raised from the dead. Elijah have raised the son of the widow of Zarephath. Elisha has raised the son of the widow of the woman of Shunem. Jesus himself has raised Lazarus, the daughter of Jairus, or Lazarus, or the son of the widow from Nain, or Peter has raised Tabitha, Paul has raised Eutychus. So why this resurrection, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the unique event in history? It's because they all were raised again with a mortal body to die again. They are still waiting for the future resurrection, as Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12. They are all waiting for the future resurrection. They all died again. But Jesus, he resurrected with a glorified body, never to die again, with an immortal body. So that is the difference between the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ from other people. All conquerors, as I said, all conquerors have been conquered by death. All kings have been ruled by death. All philosophers have died as fools die. All religious leaders are still in their graves. One who cannot conquer death cannot be our savior, right? He conquered death and he is our savior. The only savior. Jesus is the only savior of the mankind because he alone resurrected from the dead. Revelation chapter 1, 17 and 18. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. He is alive forevermore, and he has the keys of death and Hades, so we don't have to be afraid of death anymore in our lives. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. John Stott said, we live and die, but Christ died and lives forever. We have a living Savior. So what a privilege it is to come here on this Sunday evening, on the Easter day, and to shout, he is alive, he is not here, he is alive. And so the first, it proves, the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ proves his deity. Number two, it is the basis of our hope of resurrection. It is the basis of our hope of resurrection. Job 14:14, a question that all the people have asked in their lives. If a man dies, will he live again? There was no answer to that question. Death was something we were all afraid. Death became the strongest predator on earth. He was relentlessly tracking down each victim. He leaps upon the old and young, upon men and women, upon black, white, yellow, or red. We were all afraid of death, but Jesus conquered death. And there in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 and 57, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ gives hope for our resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. His resurrection is the guarantee of our resurrection. He is the first fruit. That means a greater harvest is going to follow. That means we all will have future resurrection because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Watchman Nee, he said like this, our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. We all don't have to live a defeated life. We can live a life of hope because of the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:10, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am going to prepare a place for you. Once I prepare, I will come and take you, that you will be with me where I am. And the third, what does the resurrection prove? It demonstrates the power available to Christians today. The power available to Christians today. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. This resurrection power is available to us in our Christian life. We are saved or we are converted through this power. And baptism is just a symbol of that. When we believed in Lord Jesus Christ, we were dead to sin, buried and raised again as a new creature. And that power of Lord Jesus Christ is available to us. So we don't have to live an ordinary life here on this earth. The power that raised Jesus Christ is available to each one of us in our Christian life, in our day-to-day walk. So this power converted us, and this power is leading us, and we need to experience that power in our lives. Colossians chapter 2 says we are saved through this power. And Ephesians chapter 1, 18, and 20, 18 to 20, you read, it's written more about that power available to us. Now he is our advocate. He is our sympathetic high priest. It's because of his resurrection. We are never alone. We are not orphans. And he said, I will be with you till the end of the age. It's because of his resurrection. We are no more slaves to sin, but children of righteousness because of the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 John 4, 4. You are from God. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than who is in this world. The greater power is available to each one of us because of the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. As I told you, you may not fully understand the doctrine of resurrection, but you can be a Christian. If you deny the doctrine of resurrection, you cannot be a Christian. I don't know whether you are a Christian or not. If you are not a believer, if you are not sure about your salvation, I would like to read just one verse for you. Romans 10, 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is only faith. That is only hope. Jesus is the only Savior, no other name here on this earth or in heaven or under the earth. We can be saved only through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not sure of your salvation, believe in this Lord Jesus Christ. So we can be the children of God. If you are already a Christian, my question is to you this morning, are you really experiencing the power of his resurrection in your day-to-day walk? Or are you just leading a mediocre Christian life? Or are you leading a discouraged, defeated Christian life? You don't have to be, because this resurrection power is available to each one of us. Because he lives, I can face today. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face death. Because he lives, I can face eternity. Thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us with these words.